Today on Real Radio.
Why would Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity of God, God Himself revealed in human flesh, why would He go to the cross to die? Because, my friend, you and I were supposed to go to the cross and die.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 23. It's a partial description of Israel's divine Messiah headed toward his Roman-style execution. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called, quite simply, It's the Cross.
When we have bad leaders, it's because we've allowed it to be so. We put them into power. And it might be a local government all the way up to the UN. Understand something. The Bible says those who are in power will make decisions that will directly affect you. You can put your head in a hole in the ground and say it ain't true, but it is true. You need to be involved in that process by prayer and by voting. Israel's national leader said, "We vote." We vote against Jesus. And Jesus says, women of Jerusalem, you're going to weep. And your children will suffer. Is that not true today? In every culture? Is it not true in America? It's absolutely true. Nobody wants to talk about that. Oh, you're being political. I'm not political whatsoever. Purely biblical. Purely biblical. Just remember, that which is biblical affects not only that which is public, but political, private, and eternal. Because it's biblical. It's amazing. Philippians 3:18 says, "For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and even now tell you weeping," says Paul, "that they are enemies of the cross." The word means rejectors of the cross. And Galatians 2, verse 21, wow, listen to this. The book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 21 says, "I do not set aside the grace of God, the free gift of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." Jesus had to go to the cross. Jesus is not being murdered. Jesus is being offered up by the Father. And yet those who are voting against Him will be guilty of deicide, the killing of God. Number three, it's the cross that's preparing us for what's ahead, verses 30 to 31. "Then they will begin to say," Jesus speaks, this is a very unique prophecy, by the way, "then they will begin to say, to the mountains fall on us and to the hills cover us. For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will they do or what will happen when it's dry?" That is an amazing, look at verse 31 first of all. He's speaking about future events and he's talking this way. He said, if the hills can catch fire when they're green, or a forest can burn during the winter or springtime, when everything shouldn't be burning, it should be just blossoming beautifully. When the grace of God is evident and they do this stuff, what in the world is going to happen when the grass is dry and parched from summer heat and all the creeks have dried up and there's no water and it's the end of September? What's going to happen then? Jesus is saying, if I'm standing here right now and God has visited planet Earth and here I am and this happens now, can you imagine what's going to happen when I'm gone? That's what he is saying. Imagine. He's warning them. And he quotes an amazing portion of Scripture. He's quoting Hosea chapter 10, verse 8. Why is that important? Because it comes up again in the book of Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. Jesus is standing in the middle of Bible prophecy to the left, written down in Hosea, and future events, Bible prophecy fulfilled in the book of Revelation. He is saying that there's going to come a time because of Israel's rejection of the Messiah that judgment will come. As Christians, you and I can say the same thing in the sense that the Bible says in Psalm 33:12 that blessed or happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God says, His Bible tells us, happy is the nation. Does anybody have a problem with that verse? I mean, honestly, think about it. You could be an atheist today and say, that's a nice verse. I'd like to put that on a Hallmark card, 4th of July card. Even if you're an evolutionist, an atheist, you could say that's a nice verse. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Why don't we have this plastered up everywhere? Think about it. Wouldn't it be nice? You know how you pull into city limits and it says, welcome to our city, or whatever it says, welcome to this city, you know, where everything grows, which is the motto of this city. Or you pull into some city, I don't know what, you know, you pull in and it has an announcement. How great would it be? What smart city leaders if they said, let's have a banner put up as you approach our city limits. And it says, happy is the city whose God is the Lord. Oh, you can't do that. That's offensive. You can't do that. That's going to hurt somebody's feelings. I guess so. But I'd rather have my feelings hurt than God's feelings hurt. How does the cross benefit us? When we talk about the cross preparing us for what's ahead, how does it benefit us? Church, keep this in mind. Regarding the cross and how it benefits us, it was and it is the place where God meets sinners. It's the place where God forgave sin, the cross. It's the place where mankind was, listen, indicted, judged, condemned, but it doesn't end there. At the cross, when Jesus went to the cross, you say, well, why would Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity of God, God Himself revealed in human flesh, why would He go to the cross to die? Because, my friend, you and I were supposed to go to the cross and die. You say, well, I live in this culture now. I live in this age. The Bible says that we were to die for our sins. But Jesus stepped in and He went there for us so that we wouldn't have to go there. In this room today, in this sanctuary, there are Christians who, according to Jesus Himself, have passed from death to life. Amen. You and I will never experience the judgment of God for our sins. That's what Jesus did on the cross for us. He set us free. And if you don't have Him, the Bible's clear. You're not prepared for the future. You're not ready. The cross benefits us because all of mankind was judged at the cross. When was Jack judged? When was Jack condemned by God? When was Jack indicted by God and found guilty? I can point to the cross. You say, Jack, shouldn't you point to you? Not anymore. Until I met Jesus, up until that moment I met Jesus, yes, I would have to point to me. But the moment I met Christ and I came to faith in Him and trusted Him, now I point to the cross. If the Father were to say, Jack, you're guilty of this and thus and so, I would say, Lord, based upon Your word, Jesus dealt with that at the cross. But Jack, You said this or that. But Father, Jesus took care of that at the cross. It's the cross. Jack, You deserve to die. Yes, Lord, but it's at the cross that Jesus gave me life. Jack, You deserve punishment. Yes, Lord, but it's at the cross that Jesus took my punishment. It's awesome to realize that. The true believer in this room today embraces the cross, is excited about that, thanks God for it, and is prepared by it. The cross. There's no salvation without the cross. Number 4, verses 32 to 34. It's the cross that's separating two opposing worlds right now. Two worlds are in opposition because of the cross. Verse 32, there were also two others, criminals, led with Him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other one on the left. Can I appeal to your logic right now, just for a moment? Just your logic. Listen, just your reason. No emotions, no feelings, only logic. Only the evidence, only the facts. Watch this. It is a pure, absolute, historical, factual situation here that Christ was crucified. You can't deny it. It happened. That's a fact. It took place, and I want you to think now for a moment, and I'm going to lay this down kind of in a sarcastic way, not to be mean, but to provoke you to thinking. The Bible says that he was crucified between two criminals. Rome ordered it that way. Before verse 32 and 33 ever took place, you guys, the Jews had in their custody, in every synagogue around the world at that time, what I'm about to read to you right now. Think, before Jesus was crucified between two criminals, the Jews had in every synagogue worldwide what I'm about to read to you. Isaiah 53:12 says, he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. The Bible said that Jesus, the Messiah, would be flanked by two transgressors. According to Roman law, Jesus would have been taken from the judgment seat of Pontius Pilate. He would have walked that Via Dolorosa. The first man to be in that entourage was a representative of the governor himself. And this man would be carrying that conviction sign I mentioned a moment ago. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 27, 37, which is exactly what Rome did, it says that the man held that declaration of accusation, and it said, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. And the man is walking in front of that procession. Two men, criminals, in the middle. Some guy, you're not quite sure who he is, but there's a lot of strange things going on about him. A lot of strange things being said about him. There's a guy carrying a representative of the Roman Empire who doesn't think he care less. And the guy is walking along according to Roman law, and the conviction is, this is the King of the Jews. He's marching as the spit's flying and as the curses are flying. He's crucified between two criminals. I appeal to your logic, to your reason. Psalm 22, verse 16, written 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Psalm 22, 16 says, Gentiles have surrounded me, and a band of evil men has encircled me, and they have pierced my hands and my feet. I don't appeal to your emotions. I don't appeal to your feelings. Pure logic. I ask you this historical question. Was Jesus crucified and pierced through his hands and his feet? That is something that is not only a historical fact, it is proven in the courtroom of factual opinion and data and custom of Rome. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Paul says, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel, that's the cross, to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, that's the cross of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. 1 Corinthians 15, get your pen ready, this is going to be fun. 1 Corinthians 15, how do you know if you've ever given the gospel to somebody in this life? This is how. If you ever wonder, well, how do I know if I gave somebody the gospel? Here it is, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. You do this, you've given somebody the gospel. Here it is. It's the preaching of the cross. 1 Corinthians 15, 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, that's the cross, which I preach to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that which I preached to you, Paul says, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I've received, that Christ died. Where did he die? At the cross, for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Right there, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4 is the gospel. And it's all about the cross. Historically, think about this. The condemned man was to carry the cross, he was to carry his own cross, and he was to carry his own cross to judgment. In 1 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Holy Spirit." 2 Corinthians 5:21, I'm trying to hurry. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he," listen, that is God the Father, "made him," Jesus Christ, "who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus went to the cross. The perfect one went there for us. And then Isaiah 53:6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." Can someone say amen? That's good news. Sin cannot survive in the presence of the cross. It's impossible. Sin dies at the cross. So Jesus takes, think about it, Jesus takes your life, my life. Let's just pick on me. He takes my life, all my sin, committed, intended, thought of, sin executed and sin not executed. Sin past, present, and future, Jesus took care of it at the cross for me. He did it for me. He did it for you. And he, only God could do this. Think that he took all of that on himself at the cross. That's why we love him. That's why we sing. That's why we give him our lives. And I wrote this down in my own life. I tell you, this means a lot to me. For those of us who have come to the cross, we've watched our fears evaporate, or they're evaporating. For those of us who've come to the cross, we've watched our pride be washed away, or it's being washed away. For those of us who've come to the cross, our gossip has been purged, or it's being purged. For those of us who've come to the cross, our shame is removed, or it's being removed. He's given us life. And finally, we end here. Number five, it's the cross that's giving life to all who want to live. Look at verse 34. "And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." One of the most famous statements, and one of the seven statements of Jesus from the cross. "And they divided his garments and cast lots." But what an amazing thing this is. Jesus, in his hour of suffering, he prays for us. He prays for them that are there. Technically, according to the Greek language, you guys, Jesus is literally praying for those who have perpetrated this against him in the immediate now. But of course, it goes beyond that, as you well know. I want you to think about that for a second. He's covered in spit. Isaiah says he's more disfigured than any other human being has ever been. Can you imagine putting a human being in a blender and then reassembling and that skin in the shape of a human, and then nailing it to the cross? The movie Passion of the Christ got an R rating because they said it was too graphic of violence regarding Jesus. And then you saw the movie, and it says, you think, are you kidding me? They didn't even come close. According to Roman history, Jesus' lungs from the flagellum beating, his lungs would have been exposed. The eyewitnesses in Roman scourgings could see cartilage, ribs, lungs, tissue, vitals being exposed over the back. I know that you and I, and it's normal for us. As humans, it's normal. We don't see that kind of stuff. I understand that. But church, listen to this. Jesus said, "Father, Father." He's praying from the cross. I can hardly stay awake to pray at all. He's praying from the cross. "Father," what? "Father, get me out of here." No, "Father, forgive them." You ever doubt if Jesus is God? You shouldn't anymore. He's on the cross and he's saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Man, I see my priest on the cross here. That's my priest. See, what did he say that? He's praying to the Father. He's interceding for these guys. Rough, rugged, Roman guards, centurions, committed to crucifying him. Is one of them standing there with a mallet? He would have. Somebody had a mallet, a hammer, blood splattered uniform, maybe blood's on his face. The blood of God splattered on your face. Is one there with a spear? We know somebody had a spear because in a moment, one of them's going to shove the spear into Jesus' side. They would have taken that vertical beam, it's laying on the ground. They would have then now tied that to the crossbar that he's going to be nailed to. He's now nailed to it, tied the two pieces of wood together, and then they raise up and it falls into a hole. Centurions had to do that. That was their job. Can you imagine? You don't know what's going on. You're an Italian. You're in Israel. You speak Latin. You're far from home. You're just doing your job. Nailing this. Doesn't cry. Doesn't make any noise. As a lamb is silent before it shears, the Bible says, so he opened not his mouth. Didn't say, ouch. Didn't say, you know what? You wait till I get you in eternity. I'm going to fry you. He didn't say that. They raise him up and he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Church, I don't know what evidence more you need on the factual side or the emotional side to say, that's my God. That's my Savior. That's the one for me. What does it take? What's it going to take? I plead with you. What's it going to take? What more do you want? There's nothing better than this. Look at the things that you and I have done in life, and we didn't know what we were doing. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. I appeal, and the last verse, I appeal to your logic and reason. Isaiah 53, 743 years before Jesus was born, says, he bore the sin of many and he made intercession for the transgressors. Intercession means he prays for them. Wow. Wow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in an impassioned presentation called, quite simply, It's the Cross. It's a look at part of Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 23, which offers some of what occurred right before the execution of Jesus of Nazareth. It's part of our teacher's verse-by-verse through this fascinating eyewitness New Testament account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you ever given any thought to why we must stand with Israel? Scripture is clear that the Almighty judges individuals, families, churches, and nations when they go against His will. And the promise made to the very first Jew in Genesis 12 is just one of those warnings. Ever since her rebirth in 1948, the U.S. has consistently stood by Israel's side. But some fear that that tide, unfortunately, is changing. Learn why our nation, and especially we who follow Israel's Messiah, must stand with Israel in Pastor Jack's DVD presentation that goes by that very title, Stand with Israel. Now here's our offer. We'll send to you Pastor Jack's timely DVD, Stand with Israel, for your gift of any amount in support of Real Radio. Whether you call, click, or write, just ask for the DVD by name, Stand with Israel. Visit realradioactive.org to learn more, realradioactive.org. You can also make your request there, as well as your contribution, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877 RR Radio, 877 RR Radio. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.